I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. People of color have long been a part of the fabric of the Cape and Islands, but their stories are not always included in the history of our region. Today, we talk about some of the people and events that figure prominently in the history of people of color on Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard. A little later in the program, we talk about the integration of Nantucket schools with Barbara Ann White, author of A Line in the Sand, The Battle to Integrate the Nantucket Public Schools, 1825 to 1847. But first, we look to the African American Heritage Trail of Martha's Vineyard. It represents 25 sites commemorating the history of people of color across Martha's Vineyard from pre-revolutionary times to contemporary events and people. Elaine Crawley Weintraub is one of the founders of the trail and author of Lighting the Trail, the African American Heritage of Martha's Vineyard. She also heads up the history department at the Regional High School on Martha's Vineyard and is responsible for engaging students in further research and maintenance of the trail. And she joins us in our Woods Hole studios. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning.
All right. So tell us where the idea for the trail came from.
I think quite simply, it grew. It didn't sort of pop into my head one day, what we need is a trail. What actually happened was I was working in the Oak Bluff School, and I was had one of those jobs that people dream of, that nobody knows what you're supposed to be doing, and it comes with a budget, and as long as you seem to be doing something, everybody's happy. And I'd been given this group of students. I remember there were 14 students, and of those, 11 were children of color. And I'd never worked with young children before, but I'm a history person by training. And these kids were apparently at risk of academic failure. I'm not sure, maybe they didn't use the scissors correctly in kindergarten, but whatever. And I sort of thought to myself, what these kids need, we need to be out in the community, we need to be doing interesting things, and most of all, they need their own history. And so I took myself off to the Bunch of Grapes to buy a history of African American people on Martha's Vineyard. And there wasn't one. There were books on everything from cats of Martha's Vineyard, ghosts of Martha's Vineyard, everything of Martha's Vineyard, houses, whatever. And even beginning to be some about the tribe, about the Wampanoag tribe and the history that they have on the island, but nothing on African Americans. So I started researching. And at first, the idea was just to research it and get the story. The trail grew organically out of that.
So was it surprising to you then to find that the island had such a long and rich connection to the African-American community as you were discovering these stories? Was it surprising?
In some senses, what was surprising is the number of people who are well-known and who have some fame, who were on the vineyard at various times in the history. But I think I did always know when I began that the people of African-American ancestry had been as long on the vineyard as people of European ancestry. There were just no tracks, no traces, no recorded history. But I knew they had to have been there.
Yeah. So what were some of the first sites then along the trail?
Well, I think the most significant site at the beginning was the Shearer Cottage. It actually began the trail, and it was dedicated. It's a home in Oak Bluff, still owned by the family of Charles Shearer, who was born into enslavement in Virginia before the Civil War, was freed during the Civil War by the Union Army, and who pursued a career first as a teacher at what was then the Hampton Institute, now Hampton University, and eventually came to the island from a job he had in Boston as a head waiter. And at first his house was a laundry, and his family took in washing, and they financed their vineyard summers with that. From what I gather, so many people in the family came to stay that eventually it was thought, well, if they're going to come and stay, maybe we should run an inn. So when Charles' wife, Henrietta, died, I think the daughters really did not enjoy the laundry, which would be understandable. And they opened an inn. And the first people who stayed there, Adam Clayton Powell, Paul Robeson, Harry Burley, these were people often with a theatrical connection, music, performing arts. And they you couldn't stay anywhere else if you were a person of colour. You stayed there. So the history really began of the modern era there. So that's a very important site. But I think for me, the most important site is the site to Rebecca, the woman from Africa who was enslaved in Chilmark and whom we have a plaque honouring her memory. I think that one has great significance, not just to me, but to all sorts of people. People leave rocks and shells and little stones and pretty things at her site.
Tell us about her.
Rebecca came over. Her life, of course, is very fragmented, what we know of it. Obviously, her name in Africa was not Rebecca, but that was the name she was given. And when she came over, she must have come on the Middle Passage. She was the property of slaveholder Cornelius Bassett. She had children who were left as probated in his will, but she was not. And through tracking various sources of information, the town of Edgartown and Tisbury were locked in litigation about Nancy Michael, who was Rebecca's daughter. And a whole argument developed over whether Nancy was enslaved, whether Rebecca had been enslaved, and if she was, who knew about it. And so there was a pretty deposition that makes your blood run a little cold about how, yes, we knew she was a slave. Everybody called her a slave. And the colonel, he used to whip her like a dog. Mm. And that's one of those reality checks that makes you realize what slavery was about. But Rebecca wasn't just a victim. And I think that's really important. She married a Wampanoag man whose name was Elisha Amos. His English name, his Wampanoag name was Hanoxet. And he owned property. He left his property to her in his will for her lifetime. See, Massachusetts had some ambiguities about slavery, that certain conditions, for instance, being able to inherit property, was unique to Massachusetts. Rebecca is also credited with spotting the English when they were trying to land off the island during the Revolutionary War. And her great-grandson was the island's only African-American whaling captain. So there were many parts to her and to her life.
Yeah, amazing history. And the people and stories that are depicted on the trail are all fascinating. Tell us the story of Edward Jennifer and why he's included in the trail.
He's included in the trail because sometimes things happen all together at the same time. We were actually working on some projects at school, and students have often had a role as research assistants and as just learning about the trail and sharing what they know. And we were actually looking at World War One. And the fact that African-American people could not serve in the American forces in World War One, so many had enlisted with France. And this French-African-American connection has been well documented over many years. But this particular day, we'd been talking about that, thinking about that, reading W.E. Du Bois, writing about that, when somebody called Carrie Tankard, who is my co-director and co-founder of the trail, and also the vice president of the NAACP, and said, listen, we're leaving our house today, and there's these books of old photographs. We don't know who they are, but we're giving them to you because otherwise we're going to throw them out. So there were various photographs of Edward Jennifer, as we later found him to be, in the uniform of a French soldier, photographed with French soldiers, and glued into this book with horrible old-fashioned glue that we eventually had to steam off. And then on the back of the poster, we saw on the back of the photograph, France, 1918. Mm. And so here was full circle between experience, what we were learning about, and here was the living proof. Mm. That's what's made the vineyard so fascinating.
I mean, what a great experience for those students that are discovering this history, you know, with these papers and pictures that would have been thrown out.
Yeah, they love the trail. I think they love it because they're working in their own backyard and they know the places you're talking about. I think often in history classes, You have little interest. Yeah,
it's hard to relate.
Hard to relate. I think we'd all have to agree on that. And I make my living from teaching history, and I know it can be hard to relate. Yeah. When you think of the strings of facts and the, you know, facts and quotes that are usually so one-dimensional. The kids love going out on the trail. They know the places and they get engaged with the stories.
We're talking with Elaine Cawley-Wantraub, one of the founders of the trail and author of Lighting the Trail, The African-American Heritage of Martha's Vineyard. We'll talk more after a quick break.